He kidnapped Kurowski's daughter. No way was that officially sanctioned.
Worse things have happened.
He was ripping them off.
I nodded. I agree with you. He was ripping them off.
So what can we do about it?
Nothing. Because if we go ahead and accuse him of scamming them for personal profit, he'll just automatically say, no, I wasn't doing that. Actually, I was running a sting, and I invite you to try to prove otherwise. And then he'll not very politely remind us to keep our big noses out of intelligence business. She said nothing. And you know what? Even if he was ripping them off, I wouldn't know what to charge him with. Does the uniform code stop you taking money from foreign idiots in exchange for briefcases full of fresh air?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
But whatever, the Syrians will go ape, she said. I mean, won't they? They paid him $500,000. They'll have to react. Their pride is at stake. Even if he was legit, he took a hell of a big risk. $500,000 big risks. They'll be coming after him, and he can't just disappear. He'll have to stay on post. He'll be a sitting target.
I paused a beat, looked at her. If he's not going to disappear, why was he moving all his money? She said nothing. I looked at my watch, thought, this, not that. Or just perhaps, just for once, this and that. $500,000 is too much money.
For what?
For the Syrians to pay. It's just not worth it. There'll be a prototype soon. Then there'll be a pre-production batch. There'll be 100 finished weapons down at the quartermaster level within a matter of months. They could buy one of those for $10,000, probably. Some bent corporal would sell them one. They could even steal one for free. Then they could just reverse engineer it.
Okay, so they're dumb businessmen, Cole said. But we heard Quinn on the tape. He put $500,000 in the bank.
I looked at my watch again. I know. That's a definite fact.
So?
That's still too much. The Syrians are no dumber than anybody else. Nobody would value a fancy lawn dart at $500,000.
But we know that's what they paid. You just agreed it's a definite fact.
No. We know Quinn's got $500,000 in the bank. That's the fact. It doesn't prove the Syrians paid him $500,000. That part is speculation.
What?
Quinn's a Middle East specialist. He's a smart guy, and he's a bad guy. I think you stopped looking too soon.
Looking at what?
At him. Where he goes, who he meets. How many dubious regimes are there in the Middle East? 4 or 5, minimum. Suppose he's in bed with 2 or 3 of them at once, or all of them, with each one thinking it's the only one. Suppose he's leveraging the same scam 3 or 4 times over. That would explain why he's got $500,000 in the bank for something that isn't worth $500,000 to any one individual.
And he's ripping them all off?
I checked my watch again. Maybe. Or maybe he's playing for real with one of them. Maybe that's how it got started. Maybe he intended it to be for real all along with one favored client. But he couldn't get the kind of big money he wanted from them, so he decided to multiply the yield.
I should have watched more cafes. I shouldn't have stopped with the Syrian guy.
He's probably got a fixed route. Lots of separate meetings, one after another, like a damn mail carrier. She checked her watch.
Okay.
So right now he's taking the Syrian's cash home. I nodded. And then he's heading out again right away to meet with the next guy. So you need to get Frasconi and get some more surveillance going. Find Quinn on his way back into town. Haul in anybody he swaps a briefcase with. Maybe you'll just end up with a bunch of empty briefcases, but maybe one of them won't be empty. In which case, we're back in business. She glanced around the inside of the truck, glanced down at her tape recorder. Forget it, I said. No time for the clever stuff. It'll have to be just you and Frasconi out there on the street. The warehouse, I said. We're going to have to check it out.
We'll need support, Duffy said. They'll all be there.
I hope they are.
Too dangerous. There are only 3 of us.
Actually, I think they're all on their way to someplace else. It's possible they've left already.
Where are they going?
Later. Let's take it one step at a time. Villanueva moved the Taurus away from the curb. Wait, I said. Make the next right. Something else I want to check first. I directed him 2 blocks over and 1 up, and we came to the parking garage where I had left Angel Dahl in the trunk of his car. Villanueva waited next to a hydrant, and I slipped out. I walked down the vehicle entrance and let my eyes adjust to the gloom, walked on until I came to the space I had used. There was a car in it, but it wasn't Angel Dahl's black Lincoln. It was a metallic green Subaru Legacy. It was the Outback version, with the roof rails and the big tires. It had a Stars and Stripes sticker in the back window. A patriotic driver, but not quite patriotic enough to buy an American automobile. I walked the two adjacent aisles just to make sure, although I already was. Not the Saab, but the Lincoln. Not the maid's missing notes, but Angel Dahl's missing heartbeat. "Now he knows all about you," the girl had said. I nodded to myself in the dark. Nobody knows all about anybody. But I guess now he knew more about me than I was totally comfortable with. I walked back the way I had come, up the entrance ramp and out into the daylight. It was cloudy and gray and dim and shadowed by tall buildings, but it felt like a searchlight beam had hit me. I slid back into the Taurus and closed the door quietly.
"Okay," Duffy said.
I didn't answer. She turned around in her seat and faced me.
"Okay.
We need to get Elliot out of there."
"Why?"
"They found Angel Dahl."
"Who did?"
"Quinn's people."
"How?"
"I don't know."
"Are you sure? It could have been the Portland PD. A suspicious vehicle parked too long?"
I shook my head. They'd have opened the trunk, so now they'd be treating the whole garage as a crime scene. They'd have it taped off. There'd be cops all over the place. She said nothing. "It's completely out of control now. So call Elliot on his cell. Order him out of there. Tell him to take the Betts and the cook with him in the Cadillac. Tell him to arrest them all at gunpoint if necessary. Tell him to find a different motel and hide out." She dug in her purse for her Nokia, hit a speed dial button, waited. I timed it out in my head. One ring. Two rings. Three rings. Four rings. Duffy glanced at me, anxious. Then Elliot answered. Duffy breathed out and gave him the instructions, loud and clear and urgent. Then she clicked off.
"Okay?"
She nodded.
He sounded very relieved.
I nodded back. He would be. No fun in crouching over the butt end of a machine gun, your back to the sea, staring out at the gray landscape, not knowing what's coming at you or when.
"So let's go to the warehouse."
Villanueva knew the way. He had watched the warehouse twice with Elliot, two long days. He threaded southeast through the city and approached the port from the northwest. We all sat quiet. There was no conversation. I tried to assess the damage. It was total, a disaster. But it was also a liberation. It clarified everything. No more pretending. The scam had dissolved away to nothing. Now I was their enemy, plain and simple, and they were mine. It was a release.